Good afternoon. How are you all? You're smiling. Are you happy? You like to be here? You like the Feast of Tabernacles? Is this a good place? You're not lying to me, are you? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I got a title here, and I got a few verses that I want to read. What does the Bible mean when it mentions fearing God or the fear of God? This is a subject mentioned in the Bible more than 300 times. As we know, fear can be either a positive or a negative emotion. A healthy fear can help us out of trouble and in danger. And I've got these listed, the verses that I'm going to go through. And in one, number one, it says, a gift from God. A fear accompanies real conversion, comes from yielding to Him and receiving His Spirit. I'm going to go to Isaiah 11. I can find it. Isaiah 11. And I have something I want to read to you. Isaiah 11, 1 to 3. And there came forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch which was grown out of the roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So we find in this, in the fear of God, and in Isaiah. And the fear of God is something that we should have. We should have the fear of God. We should know that if we do wrong, God is there to see us, and we may not make it into His kingdom. Does that ever thought come to your mind? I may not make it into God's kingdom. Do you ever think about that? I do. I do constantly. Not that I'm fearing it, but I don't want to fall away, and I don't want to do something to stumble and fall into some place where I can't get out of. It's possible as a human being to do that. I want to go to Philippians, the second chapter, if I can find it. Philippians, the second chapter. So how are you guys doing? Are you having a good feast? Are you? Do you like it here? Oh, there it is. Sorry about that. Philippians 2, and I want to start reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, for it is God who works in you to both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labor in vain. I don't want to labor in vain. I don't want to go through the process of going to church, traveling to this place here, and going to all the places that I've been, only to find out it's not going to get me anything. I don't want to do that. I want to find something very solid, very straightforward, so that I know that when I do what God tells me to do, I am going to be a king and a priest and live forever. And I'm going to be able to travel through the universe. And the universe is absolutely enormous. You don't measure it in miles, you measure it in light years. It's just trillions of places. This is what God's created. And He wants us to be a part of it. A part of His creation. A part of what He's done. A part of His family. We're going to be the family of Christ forever. Did you ever think about that? Does that ever come through your mind? Is that what I'm going to do? Is that what I come to the end of here to wherever this place is here? I know where it's at. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, this is what Christ is looking for. He wants us, and quite frankly, that's what I'm looking for too. I'm going to go to Romans 5. There was something there that I wanted to write down. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He did it while we were sinners. Do you realize what Jesus Christ did for us? He was on this earth and he lived for a very long time. And I know he's going to live forever. And the reward that we have is to become kings and priests and live forever with him. That's a fantastic concept and a fantastic idea. And we have to grab a hold of that, and we have to hang on to it, and we have to realize, I have something in the future. I can die of cancer. I can die of whatever it is. Or somebody can shoot me out on the street somewhere in Chicago, which happens quite often, by the way. But we are a people who have God's Holy Spirit, and we are a people who should be able to understand who God is and try to understand that I need Christ and I want to be with him and I want to live in his kingdom forever. You ever think about that? You ever think about living forever? That thought ever come to your mind? You just kind of go out there and feed your cats or mow your grass or call Boomer, which is my beloved female pussycat. But anyway, we're the kind of people that have to walk in Christ. And the walk isn't easy. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you have to get over something. You have to get healed from something. You have to, whatever. Whatever you go through, it's a process you go through. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop going to Sabbath church. I'm not going to stop going to the Feast of Tabernacles. Why should I? Is there anything that says that I get rewarded for not doing that? No, there isn't. I have a responsibility to do all these things, and that's what I'm going to do. I had listed Mount Everest, and Mount Everest is almost a 30,000 foot tall building. And you know what's interesting? There's people that climb that. They want to get up there. Of course, there's a lot of bodies buried along the way as they try to get up there, but they want to do that. And as a spirit being, as a human being, I'm not going to try to climb Mount Everest. I'm not going to. I don't have the desire to. I don't want to be a part of that. Tallest of mountain is Mauna Kea in Hawaii. That's the tallest mountain. I don't know how. And the trench, the Marina Trench, 35,840 feet deep. Tallest waterfall is the Angel Falls in Venezuela. I'm telling you all the things that you ought to be able to know and understand, okay? I'm just adding that so that you have something to go along with all the biblical things that I'm telling you. That's why I'm doing that. It's a gift of God, a fear, and all those things. And number two, produces godly humility. Proverbs 22. I'm going to go to Proverbs 22. And see what I can find in that one. Proverbs 22, if I can find it. Proverbs 32. Proverbs 22. And I want to read 4 to 9. Proverbs 22 and 4 to 9. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that does keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that sows iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of the anger shall fail. He that has a beautiful eye shall be blessed, for the gift gives his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner and contentious shall be gone. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loves mercy, pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips the king shall be friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthrows the words of the transgressor. The slothful man says, there is a lion without, and that should be slain in the sea. What he's telling you, you got to keep doing your job. You got to keep working. You got to keep doing whatever it is that you do. I know a lot, maybe you're, many people here are retired, and I've, you know, a little over 80, and I don't want to retire. I want to keep working. I don't have any intention to sit around home and just do nothing and see Boomer running around like a ding-dong. So I like the idea of being able to work and to talk and to speak to people, because I guess at one time in the Church of God, I was in the Spokesman's Club, and that was a kind of a fun. It was televised, and Bill Watson did it, and I don't know, maybe he still does it with somebody else. I'm not sure. But anyway, I had the Spokesman's Club. I want to go to the next one. It produces godly humility. This process, the fear of God, produces godly humility. I want to go to Proverbs. Okay, I already went there. Proverbs 22. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. If I can find that one. I'm glad you people are generous and kind and loving straightforward, because it helps me be able to do my message with each other and to see what it is that we need to be doing. 1 Peter 3 and 15 to 20. 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached in the spirits in prison, which sometime was disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein fear that in eight souls were saved by water. The like fixture whereupon even baptism does upon now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answering of good conscience toward God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For he who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made substitute to him. So Jesus Christ on the right hand of God, that's where he went. He was crucified. He was given a horrible kind of death. It's worse than going to the electric chair, and I can't imagine going to the electric chair. I can't. But it's a concept of hanging or being in a situation where your life is taken away from you. Jesus Christ died for us. He suffered, and he was without sin. He was an outstanding subject of we can honor and we can know and understand who he is and like him and be like him, be like Christ. To be like Christ is to be without sin. To be like Christ is to leave sin and to leave the hatred and the, you know, the discussion or concept of, I don't like that guy, doesn't wear the right kind of suit. I don't like that guy, he doesn't have the right kind of hair, or doesn't have any hair. I don't like that guy, his eyes look funny. I don't like that girl because she, you know, dressed kind of goofy. You see, we can go around and make fun of people and look around and figure out, well, I like this or I don't like that. Is that what Christ did? What did he do? He was a person who lived on this earth for 33 years. And he walked around people and he talked around people. And you know what he did? The Pharisees decided they were going to put him to death. I don't know who the Pharisees were, but it didn't make any difference. They were self-righteous individuals that wanted to have their own way. There's a lot of self-righteous people that want to have their own way today. I hope to God we don't have any self-righteous people here in this congregation. You know that? I don't want that. Neither does Christ want it. Can I stop it? No, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go back to Chicago. And I won't see you for, I don't know, maybe never. So you have an advantage. You'll have to listen to me another time. So we're the kind of people that have the fear of God. And the fear of God produces godly humility. Godly humility is what we're striving for. Godly humility is what I want. Godly humility is what I want to have, because humility keeps me within my place. And my place is a human being who's not any better than anybody else. I'm a human being that wants to see things and go places and sing songs and play the piano and do all the things that I do and ride my bicycle, hopefully, and don't fall over and somebody runs into me like what happened went through once. But anyway, this is the kind of thing that we're looking for. And we're reading from the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us something. The Word of God gives us information. The Word of God is a concept wherein we can read it and say, oh, I haven't done that before. I want to do that. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be what Christ wants me to be. That's what I want to be. And I'm going to do that. And I have the mind and God's Spirit to help me do that. So I can do anything within lawful consideration, reading the Bible, singing songs, playing the piano, riding my bike, playing with Boomer, as goofy as he is. This is what we do. Produces godly humility. The third section is instills obedience. Instills obedience. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians because 2 Corinthians has something that I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians 5. Because Paul was a very good writer. He really was. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 to 13. I want to start in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5. And this is what Paul tells us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it is good or whether it is bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I trust also are made manifest in our conscience. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. They look like they're honest. They just look at it. They're not honest. They just have the looks of it. Oh, I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to go to Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to eat some good food, and I'm going to see a lot of people, and we'll have a lot of fun. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm going to Feast of Tabernacles because God tells me to. He tells me to keep the Sabbath, and he tells me to do other things also, and I try to do that. Because it's the Word of God. How can I dishonor God who has created the universe? I can't. Unless I want to go to the lake of fire. Is it tough? Is it undoable? No, it isn't. It's doable. Now I forgot where it was. 1 to 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I'll repeat that one. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. I'm here today because I have the faith to do so. I have been other places also because I had the faith to go there. That's what I do. I'm a God-fearing individual, and I want to have a lot of people with me when we meet Christ and hold hands, and He lays hands on us so that we become spirit beings. What a reward. What a thought. What an outstanding concept to have Christ want us to be with Him, who created the universe. He created this earth. He did set, created trees and flowers and birds and squirrels and rattlesnakes and all kinds of, junk things. I wouldn't want to see a rattlesnake. It'd be kind of dangerous. Or some of the other deadly things. So you can't get away from it. So let me go to Psalm 92. I want to go to Psalm 92. It has something there that I want to share with you. And you're a good bunch of people. You really are. I'm glad I came here, because it's good to see you people, and it's good to know that there's somebody else that we believe the same way. Psalm 92 and 10 to 15. I want to start in verse 10. But by horn shall you exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye shall see my desire on my enemies. And my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let me read that one again to you. I want you to get this one good. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. You folks are palm trees. Do you realize that? You are palm trees. You know what a palm tree is? It grows in warm places. I don't have palm trees around here. Probably have rattlesnakes and all kinds of junk things. The rest of your flesh and fluffy, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The cedar trees in Lebanon, I understand, are growing. And I have trees in my front yard that grow. And I have to, chop down the limbs and cut them up. But we're the people of God. God, we're here for one reason and one reason only. God called every one of us. You don't get into God's church by walking in. You don't do like the Catholics do, or the Lutherans or the Presbyterians walk into church and, hey, can I come here to church today, preach? Can I do that? I was called. God called me, and I recognized the calling. I understood the calling. I may have questioned it. I may have wondered what it is that I'm doing. But God called me, and He called every one of you. And He wants every one of you in His kingdom to live forever. You're here to live forever. Yeah, you may die, but that's a temporary concept. Dying is temporary. Dying is only because, you just can't live any longer. But God wants us to be with Him, and that's where we're going to be. He's going to do it. He has the power to do it, and He will do it. And I know that, and you know that. I want to go to 1 Peter 3. If I can find it again. I seem to have trouble finding pages in the Bible. James, 1 Peter. Here we go. 1 Peter 3. 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Did you ever have anybody ask you why you go to church on Saturday? Did you ever have anybody ask you why you went to the Feast of Tabernacles? They might not call it the Feast of Tabernacles. They don't know what it is. How's come you're going to, you know, wherever it is we are, or New York, or California, or Florida, or any place, I'm going there to worship God. I want to be a part of God's program. I'm going to do it because I want to be a part of God's program. And he tells me in his Bible, Peter tells me, Paul tells me, John tells me, Matthew tells me, Mark tells me, Lucas tells me, all of the things that I read in God's Word, I can find any place I want to. And we're here to be a part of this whole part. We are. 1 Peter 3:15-20. 1 Peter 3:15-20. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer. Every man asks you a question. To 20. Like having a good conscience, that whereas speak evil of you as of evildoers, that be ashamed, that falsely accused for God's conversation with Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. With someone we're disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited to the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by the water. At one time, only eight people were saved on this earth because he flooded the earth. The life figure wherein every baptism does also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Being made subject to him. Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about. That's the kind of person he is. Number three that I have is the title I have, Instills Obedience. Instills Obedience, and I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians, another Paul's writing, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, which is good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it is God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, and that if one died for all, then all are dead. So we read out of the Word of God that God wants us to be a part of his program. He's inviting us. He's asking us. He's not commanding us. He's trying to show us, and with all the extent writing and of all the extent concepts that he has given us in meetings, showing and talking about and trusting. He wants us to trust him and believe in him. I plan to live forever with Christ. That's my plan. I don't have a plan to run away. I don't have a plan to become a satanic device that says, okay, I was in that church once. I know what it's like. I know what they do. Go all over the country. Now for several days. They don't even like each other. No, it isn't true. And I know it isn't true. Okay, I want to go to Psalm. Probably running around all over the Bible. But I'm doing that because the fear of God is part of what I'm talking about. So hang on a minute. Psalm 111 is what I want. And 10 to 15. Oh, that's not adding up. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So anyway, I have another one here. Psalm 92. Please forgive me if I'm acting goofy and not know what I'm doing, because half the time I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, Psalm 92. But you're a good understanding audience, and I appreciate that. Psalm 92. And I'm going to start in verse 10. Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn shall you exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eyes shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. To show that the Lord is upright, he is rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let me read that one again. The Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord, that shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I'm kind of glad of old age. I don't have a problem with old age, because that's what I am. I'm old. And I plan, with God's help, to get older. I'm not going to stop at 81. I'm going to go up to, 90, 95. Why not? Noah lived for 400 years. I have the Spirit of God, and he loves me, and I hope he gives me long life. I do, because I can do a lot next year and the following year and the year after that. And I don't know how many people I'm going to see. I don't. But it's good to see all you people here. You're godly people. I like godly people because they have a look on their faces that's acceptable. They have a look that's familiar that I see, and it's pleasant to look on. So there. Let's see here. The fear of God also helps us avoid sin. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, another Paul's writing, 2 Corinthians. Sometimes I write down my notes and I have to look at it and say, why did I write that? 1-7. 2 Corinthians 7, 1-7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from our filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come with Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were tortured on our side. Outside were fighters, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down, comfort us from the coming of Titus. And now by his coming, by the consolation wherein we have comforted in you, when we told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind, so that I received the more. I'm glad I'm here. God has called every one here today. There's a reason why God does what he does. He's trying to build us. He's trying to train us. He's trying to give us the opportunity to see if we can obey one single command. That's a stop sign. Stop. That's a speed sign. Go 50, not 85. Which I sometimes do myself. I need to watch myself doing that. But we're the kind of people that have the ability to do things. We can do it or not do it. We don't have to come here to... Why come the Feast of Tabernacles here? What have you guys got? You got something special? Do you? I hear this. I'm cheerfully seeing the shaking heads. Yes. Way to go. All right. Way to go. That's nice. So, Paul told the people in Corinth that, you know, got something to do. We got work to do. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to not tell you what to do, but to show you. Give you something that you can grab onto and say, I want to do that. I want to do what that guy's got. I want to do where he goes. I want to do that. I don't want to be left at home. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to have my neighbors tell me and burn my house down. The love of God brings us to strange people. Sometimes strange. It isn't strange to us, but it is those who don't believe. It's weird. I can tell you something. It really is. Proverbs. I'm going to go to Proverbs. I keep switching back and forth. But you're God's people. And I don't want you to ever forget that. And I want you to remember that you have responsibility. You have to teach your children. You have to teach everybody in your family somehow, in whatever way you can, whatever the process is that you use. The process that you use to teaching other people brings them to God's kingdom. I don't know. I have brothers and sisters. And I meet with them every so often. But they don't do the same thing. They don't believe the same thing I believe. Have I tried to get? Yeah, I've tried some of in the past, and just, you know, kind of, they're not ready for it. But I'm not giving up. Dwayne Edward Nickel is not giving up the ability to trust God, have the faith, have the ability to read, which I can still do with my glasses, and be able to speak to somebody and say, look, here's the program you have to follow. If you want to follow your way, go for it. It's not a force. It's what we desire to do. It is desire. I'm trying to create in you today a desire to want to see God and to live forever. That's why I'm standing here. That's what I'm doing here. Yeah, I'm reading. I know. I understand that. But the end result of what we do is for us to live forever. That's the objective. To live forever with Christ. To live with Him. And He wants us to be with Him. That's why one of the reasons why he was crucified. It seems crazy, but sometimes we do that in the spring, in the early seasons. Proverbs. I'm reading. Just forgive me here. Forgot where I was at. Proverbs 8. Okay, 13 to 14. I guess I read out of that. And 20 to 21. I lead to the way of righteousness in the midst of paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So this is a process, and it's like I keep telling you, this is what Christ wants of us. I'm going to go to number 6 here. Builds and encourages godly leadership. Godly leadership. 2 Chronicles, if I can find that one. Sometimes I wonder why. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. I hope that you folks here are having an outstanding Feast of Tabernacles. I really do. I hope this place has been something for you. I hope it's uplifting for you. I hope it's something that you desire and say, I'm going to go home and tell my kids about this. I'm going to tell my family about the treasures that Christ offers me to live forever. Yeah, you're going to die someday, but someday you're going to be resurrected. Are you going to be resurrected to life? Are you going to be resurrected to the lake of fire? What is it? You have a choice. Make the choice count. You have a job to do. And you can sit there and laugh, say, yeah, he's just an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about anyway. Okay, whatever. 2 Chronicles 19, 5 to 10. And he said, judges in the land thereof for all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for contrivances when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do to the fear of God faithfully and with a perfect heart. Let's see, where am I here? 2 Chronicles 5 to 10. Okay. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren who dwell in the cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren, this do, and shall be, and you shall be no trespass. He's talking about trespassing. Trespassing is sin, in case you're wondering. Trespassing is wrongdoing, in case you're thinking, what's this guy talking about? He's standing there talking about trespass. It is a sin. We have to obey the God rule. We have to obey what God tells us. Keep the Sabbath. Keep the holy days. Go to church. Raise your children in Christ-like condition. I thank my God that my daughters are in God's church. They live in Ohio, but that's okay. It's not that far away. And I see him every once in a while. I believe what I read. I trust what I read. I understand what I read. God called me long ago, and he knew what he was doing. And he also called my wife, and he knew what he was doing then. So God knows how he's going to work this program out with all of us. And we can wonder, and we can laugh, and we can joke, and we can stand around and just make fun of it or do whatever we want to. That's okay. That's okay. Builds, encourages leadership. 2 Chronicles, yeah, I just got through reading 2 Chronicles. And leads to loving God and those like-minded. The fear of God leads to loving God and those like-minded. We're like-minded. And anybody else that we can bring into God's church, you know, through a process, talking and whatever it is that we can do, you know, we can do that. I want to go to 1 John 4, 16:21. I'm going to start in 16. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. There should be an enormous amount of love floating through this room. I don't know whether there is or not. I don't know whether you're just here just for the fun of it. Oh, I just got to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll just go here and just see what I can do. I'll find out what everybody's doing. I'll just look around and just kind of wonder. Well, good luck. Because when you meet Christ, he's going to say, what did you do? Oh, I wandered around and looked. I'm sorry. I don't have any room for somebody in my kingdom to wander around and look. I want somebody who's going to be active. I want somebody who's going to be a part of the program. I want somebody who is willing to die for me if he has to. Like my Savior Jesus Christ did, who was innocent. I don't particularly expect to die as I stand here, although some of you may shoot me. But we're the people of God. How can you not have the faith, the steadfastness, the heart, the feelings that God give us? God wants us to be a part of his program. He wants to be a part of his kingdom to live forever. Yeah, you may die. When you're resurrected, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he's going to ask you, who sent you? Whatever, you know, in verse 10, he believes on the Son of God has a witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave to his Son. I can read this entire Bible. It tells us who we are, the kind of people we are. And he wants us to live forever. I want all of you to achieve this concept. I didn't come here just to talk to you. Yeah, I did. But I also want to see something happen as a result of it. I want to hear somebody say, you know what, Nickel? These people in wherever it is you are, I can't remember the name of it, really are changing their lives. I hope I hear that. I hope somebody tells me. I hope somebody lets me know that what I said made a difference in their lives. And they are more Christ-like than I've ever seen in my entire life. That's what I want to hear. Do I have to hear it? Yeah, that's okay. You, however, are going to know. Every one of you are going to know. Have you been called? Do you follow the calling? Do you follow the process? Do you listen? Do you want to change your life? Do you want to live forever? Do you want to go through the stars and the entire universe like Christ does? And in the new world, help them come in and see what they've missed. God wants us to love one another. In sum, may we all develop that vital and powerful fear of God that leads to loving Him and others and avoid cowardly fear by putting God first in our lives. This is what the Bible means in telling us to have the fear of God. God bless every one of you, and I hope you do have the fear of God.